Hi, I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And I'm Linda Lohan.
Welcome to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness produced by WRVO Public Media. On today's show, got back pain? Millions of Americans do. And they're spending more time and money on treatment than ever before. A physical therapist explains what's going on and why prevention is the best option.
Plus, we get tips from a family farmer and produce market manager on smart shopping at the farmer's market. But first, your employer is concerned about rising insurance costs, and you don't want to see your benefits slashed. So here's the deal. Before you sign up for your company's health insurance, you may be offered the option of having some medical tests. And to qualify for discounts on your premium or deductible, you'll be asked to enroll in a wellness program.
Is this an invasion of privacy? Do employees have any say in or control over their own health care benefits? Our guest today is a leading advocate for patients' rights and a self-proclaimed privacy warrior. Dr. Deborah Peel is the founder of the nonprofit national organization Patient Privacy Rights, the bipartisan coalition for patient privacy, and the annual international summits on the future of health privacy. Welcome to Take Care, Dr. Peel.
Hi, thank you for inviting me.
We described a situation that's playing out for thousands of American workers. Employers requesting that we undergo medical testing in order to bring the insurance costs down for the whole group. CVS Pharmacy is one of the employers who is currently doing this. How common is this practice, and is this where employers are headed?
Wow, these are great questions. The first point is many, many employers use or attempt to use various kinds of programs to help their employees be more healthy and to change their behaviors that, increase their risks of chronic diseases. About 94% of large employers are using programs like this. So this comes from the desperation I think everyone feels, patients and employers, that our health care costs in this country keep rising. They keep rising. And the problem with many of these programs is that they make it seem like the only player, or the main player, the one who's causing the problems are patients, employees, who need health care. And it's a kind of a blame the victim sort of thing that, you know, it's all your fault if you're not healthy. And obviously people have to take responsibility for doing healthy things, but the fact that we have epidemics of obesity, diabetes, and high blood pressure in this country also suggests there are much larger societal factors involved that we're not taking a hard look at in this nation, you know, such as cheap, bad fast food, for example, that's quite addicting. So we need to, everyone is desperate to find solutions, and what we're very concerned about is the solutions that employers are using, wellness programs, risk assessments, lab tests, medical screenings, all of these answers to what they think the problem is, namely you, the employee, are short-sighted, but worse, they're very, very intrusive because all of these different companies that take part in these plans to help people get well collect very sensitive health data, which we don't control.
Let me ask you this. Just give us an idea of what medical tests are being done, what they're looking for, and who sets the standard for what is acceptable.
Well, let's start with the last part of this. No one sets the standard for any of this. And in fact, the prestigious journal Health Affairs in March found that wellness programs are actually not effective for people with all the kinds of risk factors that we all recognize are important. If you think about it, these are complex illnesses. They're very complex illnesses. And there are genetic components. Again, there's things that you can do yourself about being healthy and well that can help, but there are also other factors in our environment. And the idea that somebody could just all they need for motivation is to talk to somebody at a call station with a script about being overweight or about high blood pressure for 3 times, and that would change a serious chronic disease, is kind of naive because people struggle with these diseases. And the thing that makes me so angry as a physician You know, I have never seen anyone who wants to be sick or unhealthy. People really do want to be healthy. So this is kind of ironic that you know, the employers are prescribing an answer, asking the employees, what could we do to help you be healthier? They don't even start by asking the employees, what are the problems with your health that we could do something about?
What happens to the employee who doesn't meet the standards that they're setting? Are they forced to pay higher premiums? Is everybody aware at the company who the people are that didn't want to go along with it? Or is that kept private?
Well, see, it's pretty hard to keep information private in companies. It really is. If people are sick, hospitalizations, those kinds of things people are aware of in their immediate boss and so on. Then smaller companies, everybody kind of knows everything. And in the larger companies that are self-insured, large employers, if they're self-insured, look at your health information. Even when large companies are not self-insured, insurers have a way of leaking this information.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media. I'm Linda Lowen.
And I'm Lorraine Rapp.
And we are talking to Dr. Deborah Peel about patient privacy and health insurance and what employers are requiring from employees more and more. I guess you could say invasion of privacy. Would that be an accurate description, Dr. Peel?
Yes, it really is an accurate description because people are incredibly sensitive about their bodies and their minds, and they don't want their employers to know that kind of personal information about them. And I agree. Let me just tell you a quick story. You know, I've been practicing for a long time in a privacy-sensitive specialty, psychiatry and Freudian psychoanalysis. So when I first hung out my shingle in the late 70s, people asked me, if I pay you cash, will you keep my records private? Okay, that was the paper age. What were they talking about? Here's what they were talking about. They sent an insurance claim in, and they were punished at work. Either their reputation was harmed, they were not promoted, they were even in some cases pushed into jobs that were completely different and not easy for them to do, and then they failed. And so, in effect, were fired. So this is a problem of employers looking at people's medical conditions that started long before technology. The problem with technology is so much information is collected now in hidden ways from everywhere we go on the internet and from every place we go that uses electronic systems. This data is being collected and sold, and the most valuable data in our current digital surveillance economy is any piece of information about your health. It's way more valuable than a social security number, which, by the way, are also for sale online.
Okay, so we're realizing that they acquire information about your health. Maybe,
yes.
You know, they do blood tests and they figure out your cholesterol. They understand a lot of information that previously, as you pointed out, used to be privileged information between a patient and a doctor. What happens to that information once it's acquired? Who's looking at it? Whose hands is it passing through?
This is the really difficult part. We do not have a data map. We do not have a chain of custody for who sees our health information in electronic systems. Again, this is really different than the paper system, where every time your physician was going to send your records to, let's say, specialist, they would ask for your permission and you would sign saying, yes, I agree to disclose my information to Dr. Jones from Dr. Smith. So we had actual chains of custody of where our paper records went. The truth is there are very, very excellent technologies that exist now that could be used to create electronic chains of consent and to put us back in control of our information. We could set up our own electronic rules that every data holder would have to check with before they used or sold our data. But none of these great technologies to put people in control of their information or to give them essentially an accounting of all disclosures of what went to whom for what purpose. None of that has been mandated by the federal government. So what we're getting are systems that make it incredibly easy for hidden data users to take our information and do things with it that we don't even know about and may not approve of.
So you're raising two issues. One is that an employee may feel pressure. What the company is presenting as an incentive to keep the group cost down now is pressure on an individual.
Yes.
And then as well as that, once this information is given, we're not really positive who's seeing that and who's keeping watch over it and what's happening with it. Now, I had this question. If you were part of a company and you did go along with the group and you were in some type of wellness program and then you were unemployed by them, let's say you left the job to go somewhere else and you had to get insurance, are those medical records from the previous company going to rear their head again? Or is that going to come back and haunt you in some way?
No, that's exactly true. There are some companies that publicly proclaim, like IBM, we will never, ever look at your medical records, and that they have big firewalls between human resources and, you know, the insurance plan, and if they do wellness plans, that, you know, they've publicly proclaimed that. The problem is there's no law that requires companies to do that, and there's also no law that says IBM has to continue to have that policy. So, yes, all of the information is shared. Any claims that are ever submitted, all are sent to something called the Medical Information Bureau. All of the health plans share everyone's claims information so that if you change companies, they already know what you have. The problem is we can't see this information. We don't even know that it's accurate. And in fact, another big problem with health data is there's lots of errors in electronic health records. You know, think about it. For many diseases, it takes time to actually get the right diagnosis. So, for example, it takes, let's say, 10 to 15 years to get an accurate diagnosis for bipolar disorder. Guess what you have for the 10 to 15 years before that? Lots of wrong diagnoses. And this doesn't just happen in mental health. That's just an easy example. But we have these records about us. Today, we can't even get copies of our electronic health records. Since the HIPAA privacy rule was put into place, we were supposed to be able to get copies of our records so we could know what we have, know what our health is, and check for errors. But finally, in the next year or so, we will be able to begin to get downloads of some of our electronic health records so we can begin to know what's going on with ourselves.
Right.
The problem is we and our physicians can't get the records. They're controlled by all of these data collectors.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Take Care, a weekly conversation on health and wellness on WRVO Public Media.
Dr. Peel, as employees, what are our individual rights then if we're up against these data collectors? Are there any groups that are challenging the legality of this?
Actually, before I started Patient Privacy Rights, a group of us actually challenged the legality of Health and Human Services Agency, the federal department, because they took the patient's right of consent out of HIPAA. That was a key change in 2002 that the media never wrote about. Nobody ever noticed except those of us that understood even back then that patients really, all of America, really wants to control this sensitive information. But the government and industry never have reported that you're not in control of your information anymore. So we did file a lawsuit, and we went all the way up to an appeal to the Supreme Court. But at the time, the judges said the government was not the cause of this problem. We should sue corporations. Today, however, the government is the cause because they're requiring all hospitals and physicians to adopt electronic health records. We can't even have access, much less consent, about who can see and use our information.
And we're going to have to leave it there for right now, but we really appreciate hearing what's going on. Dr. Deborah Peel is the founder of the nonprofit national organization Patient Privacy Rights. Thanks for joining the conversation, Dr. Peel.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Dr. Deborah Peel is the founder of the nonprofit national organization Patient Privacy Rights. For more on Dr. Peel and patient privacy rights, visit the Take Care webpage at WRVO.org, where you can also download podcasts of our show.
Coming up, before you head to the farmer's market to savor the freshness of local produce, learn how to find vendors you can trust. But first, we get back to the basics on back pain and learn what you can do to prevent it. You're listening to Take Care on WRVO Public Media.